The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Yes, we're here. We're back. It's the final hooter here on Radio General with me, Dave Parkinson. I'm delighted to welcome back the best man in rugby league. He's certainly my best man anyway. It's Adrian Jackson. How you doing, matey?
Sorry. Yes, I'm back.
See, it just doesn't matter who sits here. They always end up getting it wrong.
The wrong buttons. Yeah, you're driving it today, man.
I know, exactly. So, no.
Back on the podcast. LoveRugbyLeague.com. Trying to talk rugby league.
Give some sense. If I can press all the buttons right.
Not a good start. But
thank
you for holding the fort for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I try my best.
That's all right, then.
Try my best. Usually, I've been in here on my own, so I've not had to bother about the other buttons and whatnot.
Easier when you're on your own.
Right, okay. So what have we got coming up? It's been an interesting old couple of weeks, hasn't it, as far as results have gone. So we'll be looking at everything that's happened in the Super 8s, into the qualifiers, and also into the Championship.
The 8s been super? Not really. The qualifiers are more interesting. I mean, are Widnes going to retain Super League status? Is our league going to do it?
Well, you
who's
know.
Who's got the legs for it? Who's got the heart for the battle?
Who's up for it at the moment?
Who's up for it? That's what we want to know. Looks like Hokiara are up for it, beating Lee.
Yeah, they were very good, actually. They were very strong, mainly out wide. They did a lot of dummy half running. Certainly broke Lee's hearts, although it was a bit of a dodgy try decision, I've got to admit, because of the play of the ball. But I won't take anything away from Hull Kingston Rovers. I thought they kicked the ball extremely well
We said early doors in the season, Hockey are a team on a mission this year, aren't they? They're hell-bent on getting Super League status back again after losing it in dramatic fashion against Salford in that last year's £1 million game. But have they got the squad to get the job done?
You know, it's difficult because having seen them live.
Because I covered the game when you played Oldham.
Yep.
At Celtic. Celtic Crusaders. Stalybridge,
yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't that impressed with Hulk here.
No.
Have they improved since then?
They had the moments, don't get me wrong. I mean, they brought Mossy Massoy in, who did his usual 15 minutes and then went off.
Nothing's changed from his days at Saint
Helens. Changed too much. He did about two really good runs, and then the others where he was looking at recovering after time, and ended up with, like, still three men stopping
That's why Saint Helens got rid of him.
but they have got some clever footballers. Jamie Ellis, we know, can kick a ball. We know that Sean Lunt can really control things at dummy half, and it was his experience, really.
Be the difference for them, couldn't it?
We'll be hearing from him a little bit later, actually, Adrian. That was a nice little link in there, by the way. Other guys we'll be hearing from over the course of this show are St Helens' Zeb Taylor. Steve Manning caught up with him. We'll be hearing from Dennis Betts after Widnes's victory at Halifax. How was that game for you?
Oh, no, they were coasting in the first half. One, because Halifax were trying to slow it down to the style of play, you know, the pace of it. The referee penalised them quite a lot, so they never saw a lot of the ball in the first half, did Halifax. Widnes coasted into a 26-0 lead, and you're thinking, well, this is job done. But all of a sudden, a couple of simple tries given away by Widnes, well executed by Halifax, it's got to be said, and they grew in confidence. And well, they had Widnes on the ropes for at least 15 or 20 minutes of that second half. It's only the fact that Widnes are full-time and Halifax are part-time that the extra fitness counted in the final stages. And I'll be honest with you, I know Widnes fans and Dennis Betts might disagree, but the scoreline flattered Widnes with those two late tries.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Well, fair play to Halifax, they give it a dig, but the damage was done at 26-0 down.
You also caught up with Lloyd White as well to find out how he's been going since he's got back in the team. Well, he's had a real injury hit season.
He says he's been all right.
Okay. And we'll also be hearing a little bit more from Sheffield's Mark Aston.
Oh, it's always great to have the Aston one here, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, oh, I love interviewing him. He's one of the best people in rugby league to
interview.
Has
a rant, but he's cool.
And
he has a rant.
Yeah, I caught up with him after Sheffield defeated Swinton at the weekend. So I was over there at Haywood Road.
Now, Swinton.
Yes.
What's happening with them? Where are they in the financial stakes?
Well, fortunately, they have been saved in the short term. They've got.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. Yeah, they've got the board have really all clubbed together, the existing members of the board. They've managed to get a loan on board as well from the Salford Council. And, talks are ongoing, I think, regarding stopping at Haywood Road as well. So, sale want them there.
It's a nice little ground. I've been
there.
I like it.
It's atmospheric, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's not, it's, to be fair, it's in the Greater Manchester area. All right. It's not Swinton. I know the aim is to get back into the Holy Grail of Swinton. I don't think they're going to do it. Not yet, anyway. So they might as well stick with a venue that's well within their budget.
Yeah.
And it's not that far away from Swinton anyway, is it?
And I've got to say as well that, you know, Stuart Littler is having a really good dig at the top job there at Swinton. I mean,
good on him.
You've only got to think 12 months ago, he still had the playing boots on.
Yeah, so he's still current. He's still got modern ideas in training.
We'll also be hearing as well from Tony Smith as Warrington go from strength to strength so far in their qualifiers campaign.
They're going to do a lead, aren't they? They're not going to lose a game in these eights.
So you get the general gist of what we're talking about here on Radio General via this.
The final hooter.
There you go. Press the wrong one as well, but never mind. We still got it to say the final hooter, though.
All right, then.
That's fine.
That's okay.
We've got post-edit. It's not a problem.
Cool.
Unless you're listening live via radiogeneral.co.uk. And, well, I suppose we should crack on, really, shouldn't we, and talk about some of the games from last weekend. As I say, interesting old weekend. If we start with Wigan defeating Huddersfield Giants, low scorer that one, 18 points to 4. An even lower scorer between St Helens and Hull. Hull just edging that one by 8 points to 6.
I thought Saints were the beat Hull on that one, you know, I really did.
Has everybody woke up from it yet? I believe even Justin Holbrook was quite despondent and disparaging about the game.
Yeah, was it the only points in the second half of Mark Sneed penalty?
Yeah, the Sky crew will have loved him though, won't they?
I heard Eddie saying it. Sneed.
and that was amazing because he was over at Salford.
Yeah, is he?
Yeah, Castleford Tigers within one win of lifting the league leader's shield.
Creating history, aren't they?
They are. And they're talking about this league leader shield like it's something that's worth winning.
Classy Cass, finally being the classy Cass of the same team from the 70s and 80s.
We've already touched upon the qualifiers. You know, you heard Adrian describing Widnes's victory over Halifax. Lee Centurion's going down by 16 points to 20 to an up for it Hull Kingston Rovers. Warrington Wolves defeating Catalans Dragons by 52 points to 24. And London Broncos and Featherstone Rovers fighting out a 32-all draw.
Fantastic.
Where did that come
game.
From?
Fantastic game. That defences weren't there, obviously. I suppose it would have been a frustrating time for both coaches and a good baptism of fire for John Duffy.
Very much so, yeah. He sort of walked into a real baptism of fire. Yeah. They definitely lost against Lee and, you know, they drew against London, you know, so maybe not the most convincing of start, shall we say.
Just going back to Casper, by the way, am I the only one in the world of rugby that thinks they're not going to get to the grand final?
Is this why they're building up the winning the league leader's shield?
Maybe that's
so
why.
Much?
I just got a feeling they're going to choke in the playoffs.
Well, I suppose if you look at it, they have played two really, really important games. And sorry, Cass fans, but you've lost them both. They lost in the Challenge Cup, didn't they?
Big game, nerves. They're going to be coming up against a potential Leeds Rhinos or even like a whole or St Helens team that have got the experience.
And even this coming week against Wakefield, I mean, Wakefield are the nearest and dearest, aren't they? And
if anyone's going to be the party proof, it could be Wakefield.
And I was very, very impressed with them last week when they played against Leeds, you know, Adrian. I thought that they blasted Leeds off the park.
Masterstroke for Wakefield, bringing John Kerr in. Masterstroke.
Yeah, they give him a new contract as well, haven't they?
Masterstroke. He knows everything and anything about rugby league.
He's forgotten more than you and I both know
exactly.
Put together.
He's a real genuinely nice guy and he's been a real tonic for Chris Chester. But again, going back to Castleford, am I the only one in the world of rugby league that thinks Castleford won't get to the grand final? Or if they do get there, they won't win it?
I think it's an interesting one. It's an interesting. I want to stay friends with some Cast fans, so I don't really want
to. Everything's going to plan for them at the minute. Other than the Challenge Cup, everything's gone to plan. I think it might come undone over the next couple of matches.
Well, we've seen it happen with other sides in the past, haven't we? And we've seen sides come up along the rails to actually get into grand finals and win them. I'm thinking Leeds back in the day.
Yes.
We're going to look into do something similar this time around, aren't we?
The only thing that might save them in regards of Hull might do what they did last year and win the Challenge Cup and not win another game.
Ooh, that's contentious.
It is, isn't it?
That's contentious.
That's what happened to them last year.
You're right, it did. I just think that they'll take those experiences on board, and plus now they've got to do it for Gareth Ellis because he's announced he's retiring.
Oh, well, that's okay, then they're going to win every game.
See, exactly.
For Wigan, all right, the three points off the pace. Have to get enough games left to save themselves and get into the top four. Because, to be fair, all right, the name of Wigan suggests it should be there. But for me, they've not been playing good enough to make it.
Again, interesting point made very well there by Mr. Jackson.
Thank you very much.
Right, okay. Shall we get some reaction?
Yeah, let's hear from the pros.
Yeah, let's hear as Steve Manning chatted.
Well, he is a pro.
He is a pro. He is, yes. Yeah. Steve Manning chatting to St. Helens second rower Zeb Taylor.
Well, Zeb, too, before we talk about the game coming up, perhaps after the Lord Mayor's show on Friday, after that great win at Castleford the previous week?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one to swallow, you know, when we played so well against Cass, and then, you know, coming home after a good win, and then, you know, we're dishing up like football like that. So, pretty disappointing, but, you know, the boys are ready to bounce back against Leeds.
And it's like you say, I mean, I think everyone, obviously coaches, players and speckies down after what you did at Castleford, which, due respect, probably only the most fervent day I had, and the players thought they'd win. They were expecting, obviously, you know, more of the same, weren't they?
It's fair to say, you know, everyone expecting way better than from us. You know, we did so well against Cass, and, you know, we went there with the perfect game plan and, you know, got the 2 points there. But, like, you know, coming home against Hull FC, you know, Indiana was just basically, you know, whoever held the ball in the end. You know, tough conditions, and I, like, they pretty much play smarter than us, and, you know, they executed like the perfect game plan in the bad conditions. That's what it was. So we're a bit dirty about that, but, you know, it's a new week, and, you know, we're definitely moving on from the whole game to, you know, preparing for Leeds as best as we can.
Because I think Justin said go out and attack, as it were, try and play as Saints of old have played, and as you've been playing this last few weeks. Now, if you'd have rewound and perhaps so you'd started at the beginning of the season, it'd have been a different style, you might have got the result. But if it comes off, it comes off, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, the way we play, it's, you know, we like to chance our arm a bit, you know, throw the ball around a bit, and, you know, obviously get the edges, more ball and that. But, you know, in the tough conditions, you know, obviously a lot of rain, you know, hitting that ball, the ball can be slippery, and, you know, it was just a game that was just meant to be played up the middle, and, you know, basically playing boring footy. You know, that's what it was, and, you know, Hull did it well, and they got the 2 points in the end.
So, like you say, you go to Leeds Rhinos, and it's the last game that's going to be played in front of the South Stand, which probably you're not be aware of. It's where all the fanatical fans congregate at that particular game, but it's a big game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, they need a big game as well, because they come up with a pretty disappointing loss against Wakefield at Wakey, so they'll be definitely in for a big game, and obviously, you know, with that, what you just said with the South Stand and all that, you know, that could be playing on their minds a bit as well. You know, they need to put in a big performance. But with us, you know, we just got to go out there and just do what we've been doing the last couple of weeks. You know, obviously, if it is, like, bad weather, you know, we've got to play the conditions more better than, you know, our opposition. So, I think we've got the perfect game plan to go and try and execute and get the wins at Leeds for sure. That's right.
And obviously, up to the game at the weekend, you'd only lost one in your last five, which was at Leeds. So you've got an experience of what to expect, and it's probably going to be more of the same for the players that you're up against as well.
Yeah, it is. They're a team that like to, you know, obviously they don't play a lot of structured footy. They like to throw the ball around a lot. You know, they're playing offloads after offloads, and, you know, there's a lot of passing in their footy. So, you know, it's just one of them games that we just need to, you know, have faith, trust in each other. And just rely on each other, and, you know, tying a lot, like, in defence and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it is going to be a tough game defensively, but, you know, everyone knows that we're what we need to do, and, you know, basically just, you know, play to the conditions at the same time. But, like, you know, with them, they just like to chance their arm a bit and throw the ball around. That's what we need to do.
Here's a question for you.
Go on.
Does Zeb Taylor know what the Lord Mayor's show is?
I don't know. You get the feeling that he would have looked at Steve a bit strange.
What are you on about?
Yeah, I've never heard of that saying.
Just in case you don't know, Zeb, it happens in London.
Okay.
There you go.
Man, you thought Zeb Taylor were French.
I was just saying, I thought he was French.
I mean, it does sound like he could be a French name, doesn't it? And he did play for Catalans.
That's what I mean. That's what I've been thinking. Is he French?
But, you know, we've checked it out. We've looked on Wikipedia. And Zeb is actually an Australian-born New Zealand professional rugby league footballer.
Right, that clears that up. He's not French.
And
he definitely doesn't know what the Lord Mayor show is, but we just told him. I think while we're on about Saints, I'm going to do my Kieran Cunningham impression. Hold on.
Oh, yes. Adrian has...
Because he's back, isn't he?
Adrian's put his headphones on top of his head, not quite over his ears, and he's back.
He'll be there, director of rugby at Lee.
Yep. Yeah, director of rugby.
Will you have your headphones on like this?
I don't know. Do you want me to report back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually really pleased that he's back involved in the game, to be honest. You know, because, I mean, he was a fantastic player. Okay, maybe the coaching spell didn't quite go to plan.
Thing is, though, would you be worried now if you were Neil Jukes?
Honestly, yes, I think I would be.
Because I'm not buying into that last quote where he says, I'm not here to replace anybody. Hmm. Not buying into that.
Well, we'll find
we'll
out.
We'll see, we'll see.
We'll find out, won't we? We'll find out come the end of the season.
It may never happen. I'm just throwing things into a hat.
It's an interesting story anyway, isn't it? You know, and as I say, really good to see Kieran back involved in rugby league. His hiatus was short.
Anyway, back to St. Helens. The new coach at the helm seems to have improved, doesn't he, Mr. Holbrook?
He does, yeah. I think the impressive thing about St. Helens is that they've become a little bit more structured, but they're passing the ball a little bit more. I wouldn't say they're even doing loads of passing more. They just seem to be getting themselves in better positions to launch attacks from.
Do you think they make the four?
On current form, you wouldn't rule against it, would you?
No. Dangerous team, aren't they?
Very dangerous team.
And we've liked Mark Percival. Probably the best centre in Super League for me.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Very much a strike centre.
They've got Matty Smith back. So he's going to be a bonus for them, isn't he?
Very much so.
And they've got the pack,
which we know is a big, bruising, brute of a
pack.
Not
just that, they've got the magician of James Roby, and when he's on the field, anything can happen.
To be fair, what's happened with Roby over recent weeks, he stepped back into that mantle
still
that
class, isn't
he held for years of being top of all the stats and everything.
I've been saying in my absence to people, if he's not on the plane for England in the World Cup, something wrong.
What about Darryl Clark?
He's better than Darryl Clark.
What about Danny Outon?
Better than Danny Allison.
What about Mike McLaurin?
Better than him.
Sam Powell?
Better than him as well.
Mickey Iam?
Better than him.
any more hookers that I've not mentioned?
He's not better than Chiefy Airwell, though.
Oh, right, okay. From back in the day at Widnes.
Back in the day, yes. Yeah. If he was still playing.
What about Kyle Wood? He's had a great season
for
Wakefield.
He has. Can he make the plane for Australia? Debatable.
Hmm. I think those are discussions for in future weeks, aren't
they?
In
the World Cup, some.
Very much so. Right.
But definitely Roby should be on the plane.
Okay, so that's Mr. Jackson has spoken. Remember, you can have your say as well. All you've got to do is comment underneath the old post when it goes on loverugbyleague.com. And if you're listening via Radio General, well, we'd still like to have your feedback any road.
Welcome.
Welcome, yes. Right, so we've talked there about the Super League and the Super 8s. We've hinted at what's happened already in the championship and with regards to the qualifiers.
Yeah.
Shall we have some reaction from those as well? I'm thinking, first of all, let us start with none other than the man of the moment from Hull Kingston Rovers victory at Lee, than Mr. Sean Lunt. Sean, you must be delighted with the victory.
Yeah, we are. The whole team, the whole club. But at the end of the day, that's it's only one win. You know, obviously that's our second win of the mini series, and it counts for nothing if we don't go and win. You know, the rest of the five. So we're not getting carried away with ourselves. It was a fantastic win, a real hard fought victory. And you know, like I said, we're buzzing, but at the same time, we've got to be realistic and realise there's still another five very hard games to play.
It was 80 minutes of grind in a way, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It really was. And again, last week against Halifax, it was a real 80 minute performance as well. And last week against Halifax, I think that's put us in real good stead, you know, for these middle eights, because that's how they're going to be. You know, you look at last week, London pushing Catalan close, it's going to be no easy game. So yeah, like I said, it's really pleasing to put to put together a real 80-minute performance there.
And some decent field kicking as well. In fact, probably field kicking was what won it in the end.
Yeah, I thought Jamie yourself will tell you there's, you know, towards the back end of the season, his kicking has not been where he wants it to be. Personally, obviously, he's a lot better kicker than me, so his worst kicks are probably my better kicks. But yeah, I thought Jamie was brilliant today. He's been down on a little bit of confidence lately, but I thought today was magnificent, and he kicked us all around the park, and so did Chris and Mike Marsh.
And two tries for yourself as well, coming on off the bench.
Oh yeah, like you say, they're only 2-3 metres out, but like you say, it's, it helps the team, so it's always nice to score a try every now and again, but I couldn't care less if I never scored another try as long as we win. That's all I'm bothered about.
Radio General.
Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Now, Lunty seemed to enjoy that victory against Lee. I don't blame him, because obviously we've said they're a team on a mission. We've heard Dennis Betts, we've heard various coaches saying Hulkinson Rovers have been planning for this all season. That's been their total aim.
That's been the mantra, hasn't it?
Right, get back into Super League and be ready to challenge the Super League club. So to give yourself a fighting chance, you've got to win at least one or two of your Super League opposition, haven't you? And by chalking off that win against Lee, that's going to help their cause massively, isn't it?
And as I say, I thought that they kicked the ball extremely well. In fact, I thought it was the field kicking that ultimately won the battle, because I mean, neither side could really launch that much of an attack.
But I like Sean Lunt's remark on social media. He says, good win, but let's not get carried away, because it's all right saying, yeah, we're halfway there because we've beaten Lee, and we might fancy our chances against Widnes in the next couple of rounds or at home, but you could get your fingers burnt against one of your fellow Championship clubs.
To be fair, you
that's
could still,
a danger, isn't it?
You could still fall off the wagon, couldn't you? I mean, we saw it happen with Lee, where they never really got started back in 2015, you know, so you've really got to watch it, you know, and make sure that the good start doesn't end up becoming a nightmare.
So, yeah, and I'm sure Tim Sheens, his experience, will make sure that won't happen.
Oh, well, I mean, he was cool as a cucumber post-match, you know, Tim Sheens. He was
just probably
like,
sat
well,
there,
you know,
saying, what's all the fuss about? I'm Australian, ex-Australian national coach. This is nothing, this.
Well, you know, he was just like saying, we've just got to build for the next game. It's one win. It's one win. Let's go and get the next one. So, I mean, that's the typical Aussie mantra, isn't it?
Like I said, Sean Lunt was saying it in social media. Good win, but let's not get carried away.
Okay, you name-checked Dennis Betts just before.
We did, didn't we?
Obviously, Betts very happy with the 36-12 victory against Halifax.
He'd have been relieved.
Let's hear from him.
Tough game. Halifax are a decent side. It's, like I said, all in the Richard Marsh, you're going to get well-structured defensively. We were really strong today. They're on their own patch. They've got a lot of incentive. Like I said, they worked really hard to get themselves in this situation. Now they're enjoying that time when they've made it. Like I said, they did a tough 4 weeks, missing some bodies, and they got in that top four, and now they're just going out and playing. Like, we played really well first half. We had another couple of opportunities, could have been a bigger score in the first half than it was, but we got ourselves to a nice comfortable lead. We wanted to start the second half well, and we did. They got a scabby intercept try, like I said, just a little bit slack from Reece, which seemed to give them a bit of a boost, pick themselves up, and they made it tough for us in the last 20 minutes. We dug in there, like I said. Once you've lost the energy battle a little bit and you start taking your foot off the, we thought it was going to be easy from there. And that, the good thing about this last 20 was that we dug in and we got a couple more tries towards the end of the game. I was pleased because I thought we did, like I said, with 95% in the first half. We couldn't buy a penalty in the second half for some strange reason. It was, I think Gary wanted to give any penalties, and I think Halifax just had nothing to lose, did they? They came out, they were on their own patch, the fans were cheering them on, they got stuck in, and they had some decent plays. See, Sharp and Morrissey were hard timed on the backfield. I thought a couple of times Tyra made some good decisions. I thought the pack was strong. They defended really, really well, and to score as many points as we did against them. The couple of home games that they've got here now to come, it's going to be hard to beat here. Like I say, I think Carlin's got to come in. That'll be a tough game on Carlin's, because, like I said, wherever Halifax are, they're looking to be as high as possibly can for the funding that they need for next year. Whether they make a Super League to fist a bit, I don't know. We'll see how they go in the next few games, but they're looking to finish high to get the funding that they deserve. We made some real good yards. Again, we knew what was going on. We came here expecting to win. They thought they could win. And we went after it and made a plan, and we did. Like I said, the completion rate was really key. We built pressure to start the second half, and I don't think, like I said, there was a little bit of prickliness in it when it's 26-12, but there was, I don't think it was in trouble. It's scored from an intercept and a crossfield kick that bounced out of somebody's hands. I think we understood how to get back on the horse and how to get back going again, and I thought it was a really solid performance from us. I might say should have been a little bit more points wise. We had two or three other opportunities, but I'm happy with the 36. I think what you basically got is you've got a tough group of teams that know how to prepare for this now, and like I say, Halifax have come into this and scraped their way in. The other sides that are in there have been getting ready for this for 4 weeks. One of them has been getting ready for it all year. It's that kind of mentality that they work towards this point in the season as being something that sets them up for the next year. Do Halifax want to be Super League? Could the Cope be in Super League? That's a question that I don't know. They've got the funding, they've got the ability to stay alive if they went up and had to spend all the money and find the players to be in Super League. But what they do give themselves as an organisation is, if the higher they fit, the stronger they can become over the next couple of years. And I think that's what they're striving for, that funding stream that they're after, just to keep making themselves into a strong club. And I think the competition itself, people are aware of it now and how to prepare for it. You say you come out of the Super League, and it's 3 years ago when Alan Wakefield beat Bradford in the game. Wakefield had spent 4 months themselves getting ready for that recruiting and getting ready for this competition. It's been a bit tough the last couple of years when you look at the sides that have dropped into there because of injury, because of just lack of form. It's not an enjoyable competition. You might be able to watch it. I don't think it's a great spectacle. You watch the game today. It was plenty of drama, but it was a rubbish game.
There you go.
Desperate stuff. Not enjoyable. It's desperate.
Not enjoyable. But
it's not.
Do you think that he's trying to play the old mind games there, Dennis, and building the pressure on Catalans? Like saying they've still got to go there.
Still, he is, isn't he?
And what do you think about his comments about Halifax, about them just wanting the money?
He's not wrong, is he, really? Halifax, are they going to make a serious challenge and get back into Super League? Everyone forgets Halifax were in Super League once.
They were.
They were there.
They've been out of it for a long
exactly.
while.
They were there. They obviously want that goal back. And the only way they can do it under this current system is to continue to finish in the top four of the championship, to make the qualifying eight, to get the extra money that'll get them better players to, as Dennis says, prepare and be ready for this stage in the season. But the only problem is, if they do that, they might get to that stage and the RFL might say, well, I'm not doing it now.
That is always the big backdrop, isn't it?
It is.
To anything that happens in rugby league. It's whether they actually stick with what they said they were going to at the start of the season. I mean, we've done well to get 3 years out of this haven't we?
We have. I'm not a fan of it, but there you go.
Okay.
For another day.
It is for another day. Let's get more reaction, because you caught up, Mr. Jackson, with Lloyd White, who was quite an influential player in this game.
Lloyd White could have been a potential Podanski in this one today, so you must have been pleased to have got over the winning line.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we know coming to Halifax is always going to be a tough game, and it wasn't any different today. The defence is always good, and we stuck to our game plan and we managed to get over the line a few times.
Strong finish to the game as well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, I think we've been criticised for our fitness over the past few weeks, but I think we were pretty strong today in that area. It's not a bad area for us at all, so we keep plugging away and keep getting these wins.
First half performance all really good.
Yeah, I think we kept them to nil, didn't we, in the first half, so that's pleasing. And then second half, a couple of tries, but all in all, I think we're quite happy with the performance.
Overall, it's all about moving forward now and getting ready for Featherstone.
Exactly, yeah. Coming thick and fast now, so we go again next Sunday, hopefully get the win then, and push on to see how we go after Challenge Cup.
How important was it to bounce back to winning ways, having lost out to Warrington last week?
Yeah, massively important. Give us a confidence boost a little bit today, and know that we can play some decent rugby. We still got a lot of areas to improve on, so we'll keep doing that in training and keep working hard.
What do you think the key to success was today?
We had a game plan that we had in place, and we stuck to that, and we managed to grind out a win.
Slowly getting back to full match fitness, how are you feeling?
Yeah, good. You know, it's no secret I've had my fair share of injuries this year, so it's nice to be back on the pitch. It's nice to be, and nice to be playing some rugby here.
I think Widnes would be happy to, one, got out of there with a win. Could it be in a potential banana skin?
It always is, isn't it?
Out to Warrington in round one. And it's quite fortunate they have got Featherstone, so Widnes be fancying the chances of making it 2-2, and it lines them up for their biggies against Lee and Hokinson Rovers.
It's nice that Lloyd White is back out on the field, because he's always a big miss, isn't he? Because he is a half decent player when he actually gets out there.
He is, isn't he? And obviously with Aaron Heremeyer being injured as well, Widnes are pretty limited in experienced hookers.
And you know, like he's got out on the field at just the right time of the year, isn't he? With Wales just around the corner for
the
World Cup.
He's in the squad, isn't he? So.
Oh, yeah. Yes, but you know, he's still got to carry on impressing, hasn't he?
Yeah, so I'm sure he'll be on the plane if he remains injury free. And it's important that he does remain injury free for Widnes Vikings if they're going to get out of this qualifying it and retain their Super League status. But it's not just all about Lloyd White. They're going to need the influence of Chris Bridge, mm-hmm. who's coming to the end of his career. They're going to need Rhys Hanbury. They're going to need Joe Mellor. And they're going to need a couple of forwards to step up to the mark as well and hold the line.
Now, Mr. Jackson, you were having a bit of a discussion point between the last bit of audio that we played. Regarding player contracts. You've got a real bee in your bonnet about player contracts. Get it out there, man.
Right, I know this is a Rugby League podcast, loverugbyleague.com, on Radio General, the final hooter. But it had me thinking with all the commotion regarding the football transfer window.
Okay.
I know we're talking round football now, but hey, so what? The Australians call it footy, so we can talk it.
Go on.
Anyway, because of what's going on in the football transfer window with certain players, despite the season already starting, they've yet to decide whether they want to stay or move. So everyone's saying, well, isn't it about time the transfer window was closed before the ball has been kicked? And that had me thinking about how our system were in rugby league in this country. Don't know about Australia, but certainly in this country, if you're in the final year of your contract, you can negotiate and sign for another club before the season finishes. And I think we should do away with that.
There's a lot of examples of that happening, isn't there? You know, I mean,
you've got to question the commitment to the fight for that team they're playing for. I'm not going to name players' names. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
But you would hope.
You've got to question it.
You would hope, and you're going to hate what I'm going to say, would hope that players are going to be professional to see out the contract.
They're bound to say that, but I disagree with that.
You reckon that they'll be gone, they're not really interested?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to name players' names, but you know, if the club they're at is in a certain position and they know they're on the way, they're going to think, well, I'm not that bothered because I'm going to be somewhere else next season.
Well, okay, we won't name players. We won't even name teams, I suppose. But are you seeing examples of this now, then? That you can put your finger on and say, you know, you can tell that he's not interested.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Not just this season, but in seasons gone by.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe, I just had me thinking with the football situation, maybe the Rugby League should do that as well. Rather than having players negotiating contracts with another club before the season's finished, let them get the commitments finished with that team. When the season stops, transfer window opens and you can negotiate for your heart's content.
And then when does it close though?
Before the ball's kicked.
So you could still be signing players into your squad up till, like, I don't know, 3rd of February next year.
Yeah, February. Yeah.
Yeah, 3rd of February next year.
That's
when
long
Super
enough.
League starts.
Why do you have to start negotiating with players before the season's finished? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
To be fair, you do raise an interesting point for if you're one of those teams that's lucky enough to get promoted from the Championship into Super League, because then you've got an equal footing to everybody else, haven't you?
Yeah, because if you're like Lee, and it happened with Widnes, and I know that will happen with Hokinson Rovers. They're not really sure where they're going to be. So, example, they've negotiated the deal with Danny Maguire, mm-hmm. but if they don't get to Super League, that is not going to happen.
It might still happen, though.
It might still happen, but the rumour is that ain't going to happen. Okay. Danny Maguire won't be going to Hokie out if they don't get to Super League. So, that's the example I'm going to give you. Whereas, if everyone had a level standing where at the end of the season, day one of the end of the season, transfer windows open, you can talk to whoever you like, and you've got a level chance of getting the play you want like everybody else.
If you're a rugby league agent at that time of year, blinking out, you best never go to sleep.
Not, I'm training to be a rugby league agent, that's why I'm suggesting it.
Are you? All right, okay.
No,
I thought you needed money for that.
I wouldn't know what the heck to do.
I thought you needed money for that and the ability to go and actually go, right, no, my player doesn't want that. He's not interested. Go away. Come back again with a better offer.
Now, whether the RFL change it, I don't know, but I'd like to see that change.
Okay.
I'd like to see it change.
It's definitely an interesting
one.
And
I know players will be screaming, what's he on about? Are you questioning our professionalism?
I think a few players will do.
Yeah, I am.
Ooh. You're getting brave. Just because you're sitting on the other side of the desk for a change, it's normally me that's sitting there adding the controversy. You're getting brave.
I am getting brave.
I'll pass on your telephone number and then we'll see
Don't you
brave.
Dare. Don't you dare.
Right, shall we carry on?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm off my soapbox.
So you mentioned the Catalans Dragons as one of the teams that you picked out, and just as an example,
do you think Steve McManara is thinking, oh gosh, I wish I'd have stayed in Australia? You know,
he'll get a decent payoff if he doesn't keep his job, though.
He must be looking at that squad thinking, my word, because against Warrington they were awful.
Shall we hear what Tony Smith had to say after that? Because it was one of Warrington's arguably better attacking performances of the season. What did Mr. Smith make of it?
Some of our best attack. I wouldn't say the overall game was our best performance by a long shot. I thought second half was pretty scrappy, really. I thought it was a scrappy second half of rugby league. I'm not blaming my players for that, that's for sure. But I thought it was really, really scrappy. First half was pretty flowing, and I thought our first half attack was as good an attack as we've put on this year. You know, I'll go that far. But second half, it was just very, very difficult to get into the game and the flow of game, and it was very, very disjointed. But, you know, we expected that. But overall, I'm pleased to get that sort of scoreline, pleased to get, fairly convincing win against a Super League team. We'll dealt a pretty hard draw in terms of two Super League teams straight up, and my boys have handled it and handled it well, so they've done a good job. Well, we've got seven important games. We've got five more to go. You know, they're all important, and you know, these first two were, you know, we'll dealt the cards of Super League teams, and we've done a pretty good job. I thought, you know, the game against Widnes was a real, real tough game, and this potentially was a tough game because they're a big set of forwards and backs, and they're big across the park, Catalans. But, you know, we got away to a really good start, and I think that was important. You know, I know it's hard for, and Catalans' record on the road isn't great, so it was important for us not to let them get a start in the game and then make it into a dogfight. I thought it was more of a dogfight in the second half, that's for sure, but I thought the damage was done obviously in that first half. That's Declan's best game by a long shot this year, long shot, and he did really, really well. I thought he was class, particularly in that first half. I thought he executed really well. He's still a young developing player, and he's still got plenty to learn, that's for sure. But I thought that was by far his best performance, and hopefully he can build on that. I think he got some confidence in the try that he scored last week against Widnes by running the ball under, you know, close to the line and coming up with a beating three or four players to score, and I think that gave him some confidence. So pleased for Deck. But there was a lot of, you know, good performance out there today, and you know, I've got to mention Super Benny Westwood. Hasn't played for a month. I'm not just mentioning it because it's his 400th game, which is a massive achievement by any person in this day and age in sport, but in a sport like ours. But you know, the way he performed as well, he was instrumental in our good start and our good first half. I thought he put his hand up and he played up. You know, he showed his real class. He's just got good rugby league awareness, and he's tough. he's uncompromising, and geez, I like coaching him and I like having him in my team.
You missed one word off there.
Go on.
Dirty.
Dirty?
Yeah.
Dirty Benny Westwood?
Yeah.
He's not that dirty.
Oh, you're having a laugh.
He's not that dirty. He just gets stuck in.
He's listen.
That, listen, he's that type of uncompromising forward.
The first game I came across him, he was a centre at Wakefield, and he took Paul Aitchinson's head off.
Listen, that
and
was...
And he's been the same ever since.
It was only a love tap. He liked him, really.
he's never changed, but yeah, he's had a stellar career as Benny Westwood.
Yeah, and from the sounds of it sounds like Tony Smith still enjoys coaching him and would like him to stay.
Well... Can his legs go around again? I'm not sure.
Also special praise for Deck Patton as well. You know, now it's been a while since Tony praised a young halfback. I mean, we had Gareth O'Brien, who was at Warrington for years, and then got boomed out, didn't we?
Well, how long's Deck Patton going to stay there for? Because he's had moments where he's rumoured to be on the way out the exit doors, but he seems to have worked himself back into a starting position. So it'd be interesting to watch that one. But yeah, Warrington, they're going to do a lead, aren't they? They got over the shock of not making the eights, and they were all the talk about them was top four in Old Trafford. Now they're playing for Super League survival, and I think they're going to go through that all unbeaten.
Let's run through the Super 8's Kingstone Press Championship Shield results.
I just can't believe you don't think Benny West has been dirty throughout his career.
No, I just think he's that sort of forward that I like. I like physical forwards.
As a forward to do 400 appearances, that's great. Could have been a lot more of a bad in injuries and the fact they've suspended for quite a few times.
Okay. Can I move on?
Yes, go on.
Go for it. Kingstone Press Championship Shield. We've got to give these lads a mention.
Yes, these are hard. These are proper players.
Dewsbury Rams 36, Toulouse Olympique 34. Has the wind blown out of Toulouse Olympique's sails?
Dewsbury, they would seem going nowhere until Neil Kelly turns up.
I think I make that 9 wins from the last sort of 12 games.
I know everyone keeps saying Halifax are the form team in rugby league at the moment, but Dewsbury must be pushing Castleford all the way with the wins, and Halifax as well.
And gone Bradford Bulls are one of the form sides in the game now.
Well, they've started winning games.
They've won a game. They beat Oldham 20 points to 16. They were leading 20 points to 6 at half time though, Adrian, so they nearly let it slip.
Oh, Scott Naylor will be fizzing with that, won't he?
Batley Bulldogs were way too strong for Rochdale Hornets, 34 points to 14, and they could really get dragged into the relegation battle, couldn't they, for that second relegation spot.
I think with Rochdale it's the discipline that's letting them down. I mean, Middlehurst got sent off, plenty of penalties given away, so that's something that Killer needs to work on, isn't it?
The game I was at was Sheffield Eagles away at Swinton Lions. Loved it. So entertaining. I mean, not from a coaching point of view. You'll hear Mark Aston in a minute say it's no wonder that he isn't grey. And he is a bit greyer from the last time that I interviewed him, to be fair. But he's had one of those seasons where basically there's no consistency in his side. They're great or they're rubbish. And sometimes it's elements of both in the same game.
Sounds like the new ground, doesn't it? The inconsistency in stories about how they're going to do it and is it ever going to get built?
Yeah, well, we'll also hear Mark's opinion on that as well. In fact,
just thinking about Sheffield or thinking about them, how's Jack Owens fitted in?
Guess where he played on Sunday?
No idea.
Halfback.
No way.
And he played really well. He set three tries up.
He's not played there since he was a kid at Widnes.
Scored one. He was excellent. He was brilliant, actually.
Wow. He obviously a halfback as a junior, as an international.
He's discovered his position, I think. And Mark Aston is the man to maybe bring it out to him. He's used to picking up rough diamonds, isn't he, Mark Aston? And getting them to be good players. Before we hear from Mark Aston, because we'll give him the final word on this this podcast and this edition of the Final Hooter. Interestingly enough, in the Kingstone Press Shield for the in Division 1, North Wales Crusaders 20, Hunslet 12, and South Wales Ironmen couldn't make it 2-2 down there in Llanelli. They lost 22 points to 4 to Hemel Stags. And in the League 1 Super 8s, we had Doncaster 30, Whitehaven 22, Keighley Cougars 26, Toronto Wolfpack 26.
What a result for Keighley.
Exactly. Well, they were superb in that game, by the way.
Mm.
Very, very unlucky not to win it. And Toronto starting to wobble a little bit. It's hard to imagine.
Maybe the Toronto fans now will realise that they're not the greatest team in the world of rugby league.
Maybe so. If they have got another opinion, though, we'd love to hear it, to be honest. York City Knights 28, Workington Town 18, and they've
great
done
result for York
particularly well. And then the only other results I haven't mentioned, Newcastle Thunder 28, Barrow Raiders 30, good result there. University of Gloucestershire All Golds 30, Coventry Burghs 28, and London Scholars 66, Oxford 0.
Wow.
Just before we go as well, Batley Bulldogs starting a pink walk.
Walking to Wembley.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's a long one, isn't it?
That's a long one.
We're hoping that we get the chance to speak next week to the Batley chairman, but we'll be working on that one. We'll leave the last word, however, to Mr. Mark Aston as he chats about the Swinton victory and his disappointment regarding the council stadium decision. Well, Mark Aston, congratulations on the victory, but it was hard earned in the end.
Well, I've got to give raps to Stewie and what he's done here with the guys, because obviously there's been a lot of adversity, and I thought they, you know, I watched them last week and the body language weren't great, but he got them up today. He got them up for a fight and they believed they could beat us, and to be fair, you know, they'd be disappointed because they were the best team. I don't mind saying that. They were the best team. If their skill sets had been a little bit better, they'd have beat us today because they had enough opportunities. And I'm filthy with my guys. I've got to say it. And yeah, you know, we've got Will Oak to come back in. We've got Sam Scott, who didn't play today, Remy Marginet, Simon Brown. So there's plenty of people that we can change. But there were a team out there after last week that played really, really well. And I was disappointed today. I was disappointed with our sort of game management and that, but you know, again, what I said to him probably 4 months ago, we're going to be a team that's going to have to score more points than anybody else, because defensively we're a little bit soft, and I thought that stood up today and showed again. So you know, we've just got to get his head down again. We had a real good week in training this week. Just shows you, doesn't it? You think you get it, you think you're there, and you think you've trained well, you've prepared well, and they had, and then they come up with a sloppy performance. So let's hope next week we're crap at training.
That's something that's dogged you all season though, isn't it, Mark? You know, you've been brilliant in elements of games and brilliant in some games, and then other games it's like
And when people ask me, they ask me today, what do you think? And I go, I can't answer it. You know, it's probably the first time in 17 years as a coach that I couldn't answer, I couldn't guess, I couldn't feel, and that's where we are as a team. You know, and some of the things we're doing, you go, wow. Some of the tries we scored last week, you go, wow, it's simple, this game. And then some of the things you go today, you go, where's that come from? You know, so yeah, it's a frustration for us as coaches, because you know, we're trained to get them prepared correctly, but you know, we just lost his heads, and again, we need to control it better. But yeah, it's plagued us all year, and I'm supporting that. Look, I think there's 5 games left in this knockout thing. Potentially, I guess we'll probably get the 6th game as well, the semi-final. Look, got it. And I don't mean this wrong, it can't come quick enough for me to, you know, or I will be grave, full head of grave, you know, and we could potentially have 7, but you know, we've just got to get through it. We've done what we wanted to achieve this year, which is stay up when all them people doubted us. Gary Schofield and that said they're going to get relegated. We stayed up. The boys have worked hard and that bit. And then it's, you know, it's time to rebuild and start it all again, because I need consistency, because you know, I won't get to 50 if we're not consistent very shortly.
Okay, perhaps talking from a more wider point of Sheffield's status, I suppose, and you know, getting back to the city, you had that blow last week. Does that affect the training of the lads or anything like that? Does that affect any of the lads'
we keep it away from them, you know, as much as we can. And you know, the pleasing thing for us in Sheffield is we've got great training facilities. You know, we train up at Sheffield University, swim pools, gyms, 3G, 4G pitches, you know, 3G pitches. So, we never will have a problem. Alum University's got the state, the surfaces, the pitches, grass and 3G that you will never see with the pitches training. So, we keep it away from the guys, you know. It affects me, because I'm mightily disappointed, because I was promised. And I look at people in the eyes and expect them to deliver what they said they were going to, and look, it's been given to Scarborough Developments, and this is nothing wrong with Scarborough Developments, but it isn't about football. The service that's been put down is a 3G top spec rugby surface, not football. So for us to get second fiddle to possibly a football community stadium where we will be able to play it, instead of us being a rugby stadium where community can play in football, it's disappointing because, you know, when I knocked on the door 3 years ago, they told me to build a rugby stadium. And I personally feel very let down. And I haven't yet, but I will be airing my discourse.
Radio General is a registered charity and is run by a dedicated group of volunteers. Each member provides a regular commitment to the station for no monetary reward. If you'd like to help Radio General and think you could demonstrate the commitment needed, then write to us for an application form. Our address is Radio General, Warrington Hospital, Lovely Lane, Warrington, WA5 1QG. Or check out the website for more details at www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital.
With a bigger variety of music.
This is your feel-better station.
Radio General. Radio General.
From Sky News Centre at 8.